it was time to go out to meet the saucer. Out on his blue and ivory feet, crushing the wet salad of the lawn. Overhead, he heard the cry of what might have been a melodious owl. But it wasn't a melodious owl. It was a flying saucer from Tralfamador, which seemed to have come from nowhere at all. Somewhere, a dog barked. The saucer was 100 feet in diameter with portholes around its rim. The light from the portholes was pulsing purple. There was the sound of a seeming kiss as an airtight hatch in the bottom of the saucer opened. Down snaked a ladder that was outlined in pretty lights like a Ferris wheel. Ladder down. Billy locked his hands on the ladder and was hauled up the ladder into the airlock, and machinery closed the doors. There was a speaker on the wall. The Tralfamadorians talked to Billy by means of a computer which made every Earthling speech sound. They had no voice boxes themselves.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Pilgrim. Any questions?
Yeah. Why me?
That is a very Earthling question, Mr. Pilgrim. Why you? Why us, for that matter? Why anything? Because this moment simply is. Have you ever seen bugs trapped in amber, Mr. Pilgrim?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have this paperweight in my office. It's amber, and there are three ladybugs embedded in it.
Well, here we are, Mr. Pilgrim. Trapped in the amber of this moment. There is no why.
They introduced an anesthetic into Billy's atmosphere now and put him to sleep. They strapped him to a yellow Barca lounger they had stolen from Sears Roebuck. There was other stolen merchandise which they used to furnish Billy's habitat in a zoo on Tralfamador. When he regained consciousness, he was in a boxcar crossing Germany again.
Pilgrim, is that you? Pilgrim, God damn it, it's you, isn't it? Get the hell out of here.
I'm okay, thanks, fellas.
Shut up, I want to sleep.
You get Pilgrim out first.
Well, where can I go to sleep?
Anywhere, yeah. Just not with me, you son of a bitch. You kick and you whimper, Pilgrim, and you know.
I do?
Yeah, you sure do. Keep the hell away from here, Pilgrim. Yes,
okay, I'll just sleep here, standing up, okay?
This ain't bad. I can be comfortable anywhere.
You can?
You think this is bad? This ain't bad.
Those were the hobo's last words. On the ninth day, the hobo died. There was something about the ninth day and death. There was also a death on the ninth day in the car ahead. Roland Weary died of gangrene that had started in his mangled feet. So it goes. In his last delirium, he told again and again of the three musketeers and gave many messages to be delivered to his family in Pittsburgh.
Who killed me? Who killed me?
Billy Pilgrim.
Yeah, Billy Pilgrim. That's who. Billy Pilgrim.
Listen. On the tenth night, the peg was pulled out of the hasp on Billy's boxcar door. The train had arrived on a siding by a prison which had been constructed as an extermination camp for Russian prisoners of war. The guards had never dealt with Americans before, but they understood this kind of freight, which was essentially a liquid, which could be induced to flow slowly towards the light. A single bulb in the dark hung from a pole. The hobo was the last to reach the door. He wasn't liquid. He was stone. The Americans were wheedled and teased over to three haystacks, which weren't haystacks at all, but piles of overcoats taken from prisoners who were dead. So it goes. The coats were cemented together with ice, and the guards needed ice picks. Billy was the only one who had a coat from a dead civilian. All new prisoners had to go through a delousing station. They were told to strip. The German guard wondered what sort of an army would send a weakling like Billy to the front. One of the best bodies belonged to the oldest American there by far, a high school teacher from Indianapolis called Edgar Darby. he taught a course in contemporary